This is an interview with Vladimir Samsa for the Youngstown State University Oral History Program by Doug Sulhanek at Mr. Samsa's home on Tuesday, April 9th, 1985 at 7 o'clock. Okay, what do you remember about Bessemer in your childhood?
Well, biggest thing was the quarries, cement plant. And on the quarries, we lived near the dump. And during the nighttime, you could hear the dinkies going right up. And we lived on Fifth Street. You could hear them coming right up, just a short distance from where we lived. And you'd hear during the night the dinkies running, quarry and the steam shovels operating. That was real nice.
Okay, what was all that for? Was that for everything?
That was
for
stripping. Okay. That was stripping for the for the limestone for the cement plant and for the steel mills.
Youngstown.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the good stone went for the cement plant. No, the good stone went for the steel mills, and the stone that wasn't so good went for the cement plant, which gave the cement plant like 100%, not 100% profit, but a high profit in earnings. That's one of the reasons why. I forget that company's name. Bought that company, Shamrock Company. Mm-hmm. Bought Bessemer Limestone because of its burning power, big burning power.
What do you remember about your parents and your family as you were growing up?
Well, biggest thing was Dad working so much, so many hours. One of the things he used to work, like 10 hours in the blacksmith shop, come home and eat, and then he would go back for an extra 4 hours in the pulverizer plant. So that was just about the only thing he was doing was working. Yeah.
And what years would this be? From when to about
that
when?
That would be in the 20s.
20s?
Yeah, in the 20s.
Six.
20s.
How many days? That sick day? Six days a week?
Usually 6 days a week. And Mother would have to do all that working. We used to have boarders. We'd take care of the boarders too besides. And that's the thing that I remember most of the time, where they were working all the time, just about all the time.
What about the rest of your family, besides your mom and dad? What do you remember most, the growing up stages?
Well, we had to work in a garden. And that's the big thing, working in the garden, doing the chores around the house, chopping wood. That used to be my job, chopping wood, cutting the grass. Since I was the oldest boy in the family, so I had to do most of the cutting of the grass and chopping wood, clean the basement out, and my sister helped too. My older sister, she helped too.
Now that you had to do that. I mean, that was
And before I could go to play, I had to get all the work done first. Then I could go and play. And that was some of the jobs that I had to do.
What do you remember about school, going to school? Say, either grade school or high school. What sticks out in your mind most about?
Well, by the school goes, I used to hardly wait to get through school so I could go watch football practice and baseball practice. That's what. And we used to, and the field was up at Ekman's. We used to go up there and, used to pick apples for the, green apples for the football players. But while I was going to school, I just can't think of anything as far as schoolwork goes. I know how to get all the schoolwork done and how to bring a fair report card home or Mom and Dad would really holler if I didn't.
What were your favorite subjects?
Well, I liked history and geography. They were my favorites.
Did you do good in them?
I usually did pretty good. Used to do pretty good on drawing maps. I still have them upstairs in the attic.
What was a good time? What can you remember? I mean, if you were going to have a good time, like before the war, and in school, or even in the summertime, what did everybody do for a good time? Your game.
Well,
what you did.
A good time was playing baseball, going swimming, playing football, and everybody got together. We even used to walk from here down in the evenings, from here way down to the mill, the flour mill. And you'd see people and you'd say hello and everything, you'd talk things over. I thought that was pretty nice. Today, when you walk down the street, you hardly meet anyone. I used to, on a bad day, I used to walk from the store up here to Dad's, and snow would be pretty high. There's only one person I used to meet, was Katie Swanson, the only person I used to meet on the road.
Was everything pretty much centered around town then?
Yeah, everything in town. And we used to have softball games. The Carroll Club had, we had a league. We all played, we all got together three times a week, and then we had an all-star game. It was four times a week, and that was considered, you know, a lot of fun, and it was a lot of fun. When I look back, and then we used to go swimming, too, and that was a lot of fun. We used to go skating, played hockey, a lot of hockey. That was a lot of fun. But the only bad part was there was no work. There was no money. But otherwise, it was a lot of fun. Both Dad and Mother, they were worried because there was nothing coming in, everything going out.
So longer the Depression went,
the yeah, it was a long Depression.
Word.
But we had a good time. The only thing we didn't know it because there was no money. I was in the best physical condition those days.
Were there a lot of cars in town? Do you remember a lot of cars being in town?
Yeah, not too many.
You wanted to go someplace that was walk?
Yeah. You know? When I was a kid, we could, like where the store is, Bestview Avenue, you could go right down that hill down Bestview, from Bestview Avenue and go across the road down to the main office, the Bessemer Limestone office, and you didn't have to worry about a car.
It was the fastest route.
Yeah, there were just very few cars.
Okay. What do you recall most about the Depression? What if there's like a few things that would stick out in your mind?
Well, all the gardens around. Used to be this road out here. Well, that road was out here, two hills ago. The road out here, it used to be the old road between Bessemer and Hillsville for the present road was put in. Because it was taken out because of the quarry and replaced by the Bessemer Limestone Company, and that was replaced. But on both sides of the road, there's beautiful gardens on either side of the road. Beautiful, and everything in good shape. That's how you had to make get most of your food so you could have something to eat. Because there's nothing like today, get unemployment, compensation and all that. You know, in those days you didn't have that.
Okay. Let's take a little.
A foot and a half of coal.
Did you make money from digging coal or?
No.
Just for fuel?
For fuel. Yeah, we had a good shape for football. Took, I had my neighbor there, not a neighbor, but he was digging coal next to us, Mr. Gregorina. We had steps up there, I don't know how many steps up. We had these here cement sacks filled with stone, with coal. I would take up, I'd go up and down two times to his one time. But he was older now, just young, I was getting ready for football anyway, so when football started, I was in pretty good shape. Yeah, tough. We'll get the muscles toughened up.
What, can you remember when you first realized that America was going to war? Was there one event that you thought that now we're going to get into it, or you're going to get into it?
Well, the first time I heard it was when they attacked Pearl Harbor. You know, it was on a Sunday morning, and I was listening to the newscast. Well, and I realized we're all going to get into it.
And you knew right then.
Then and there, that was going to be it. I didn't know how soon, but I figured pretty soon that we're all going to get involved. We're all going to have to get in.
Were you drafted, or you didn't let you draft it?
Yeah.
What was the mood of the town? And that might be a hard thing to remember, but what? I mean, when Pearl Harbor.
Everybody was for, you know, to get into war and lick Japan. It was kind of scary too, because America wasn't equipped for a war. That was really scary.
And, did you ever think that maybe we would be attacked, like the mainland? You remember ever thinking that?
Well, they did have that one attack, you know, on the west coast there. But I wasn't thinking about that. I was just thinking about, at that time, about winning, keeping the war out there and beating them out there. And then we was in war with Germany, too. And that was the big one. I was worried more about Germany than it was Japan at that time. Licking Germany first, and then we kept up with the newscasts to see how America's doing. Of course, at that time, I think America was in there at that time. Were they in at that time?
No,
not quite.
No, not yet.
But they were helping the Allies.
They're sending stuff like that.
Yeah.
What about, can you recall going back, like going where you went for basic training and what you went through? What was that all like?
Well, when we first went in, I felt like we were cattle, going there back and forth. And when we got out there, some of those young kids, I was 30 years old then, but some of those younger kids, they were, like that one night, I seen that one kid got up during the middle of the night there, and here he was crying. But later on, before the basic was over, he was very good. He got back, and we got in pretty good shape there, too.
Where did they send you first?
Great Lakes. That was good out there. They had a good training program. They gave you strength tests and when you first got there and when you left. And their training program there was very good. And when I left boot camp and went to Cook and Baker School in Dearborn, they had a athletic program there that they thought was very good. So when we first got to Cook and Baker School in Dearborn, Ford's Navy, they said that they gave us our strength test again. So I just went through it real easy so I wouldn't have to push myself too much. So at the end of 4 weeks, after our program is over, they gave us another, the same test, strength test. And I had a hard time matching it because their program wasn't as good as the one at Great Lakes. Of course, we had the training there for Cook and Baker, so you didn't have as much time to
spend. Who was that like?
But
the training for that?
For Cook and Baker, boy, that was good. There we had, in the bakery line, we had some of the best hotel chefs around. They had from, when the officers found out that they had a good hotel chef there, baker, at night they'd have a party. And boy, could they make beautiful looking cakes in these fancy vegetables. They'd carve them. Boy, they really looked beautiful. And that was one of the nicest. And the people in Dearborn were very nice. Some of the nicest people around. I never had to spend a penny for food while I was in Dearborn, not a cent. And then the people treated you, oh, number one. That's of all the places that I was at, stationed, I think people in Dearborn were the nicest.
When you were there, did you learn, was it that you just learned to cook for a large,
yeah,
large group? Was there a large group there to cook for? Or
did, oh, yes, there was, let's see. Well, it must have been like 1,000 anyway. I know there's 1,000 there. You know, when we went to Camp Perry, there was 2,500. But then at, when we were going to school, well, you got a little bit of training from each department, like in the coppers, they had those big 80-gallon coppers. You had a little training there. Then they had these roasting ovens. You had to do a little bit of work on all the different equipment. So you would know, you have an idea what to do when you go to the next camp.
Were you picked for that, or did you volunteer for that? How did that?
When you go in for an interview, they asked what kind of work you did before, while you were at home. And I was a meat cutter, so they put me in Cook and Baker.
Okay. Where'd you go after that then?
We went from Dearborn, went to Norfolk. And from Norfolk, we went to, we stayed just a short while at Norfolk. Well, we were there, they used to have these food there for overseas troops, and it was real salty, so the cooks there, I didn't work there, I was transit personnel there, so they would boil the salt out of the beef, and then there would be no taste to the meat. But it was still nice there. Then they from there I went to Camp Perry, Williamsburg. There we were being trained for advanced base supply duty. Island duty. And, let's see.
What would that be?
Well, we had a, while we were there at Camp Perry, we had to learn how to run cherry pickers, not just the cooking part. We had to run equipment too for island duty. And we just stayed there a short while. But we got some training there for
equipment.
When you were in Norfolk, was there any signs of war there, where the coast was ready? Can you remember anything where they?
Yes, we were too. We were right. No, there was nothing there. No, but we were right across from the airfield, and yeah, our camp was right across from the airfield. But everything was just, I don't know, it wasn't really under heavy security.
Did you do any ship repairing or anything?
No.
Dry docker?
No. We were just in that, all we had, just on an advanced day supply. We were right at the ocean. But we could go a short distance and be right there. But we were right in the camp there where we did most of the equipment, how to operate equipment. Small equipment, not heavy equipment.
Where'd you go then from Camp Perry then?
From Camp Perry, we went to Lido Beach, New York. And out there we didn't have too much training there. But we were there, we had, war was over with Germany while we were there. So I didn't stay there too long. But from there we went to West Coast, and we were getting all ready for Japan. Really, the attack on Japan. When we got there, the war was over with Japan too. So they had on that base held about 10,000. And as our orders were being canceled, everybody was shipped out there and the orders were being canceled. So there was about 20,000 on that base. They had gym halls filled, rec halls filled, everything filled up. And all we did mostly was get in chow lines and wait for chow.
What was the feeling like? Was everybody relieved?
Everybody relieved. Everybody felt good. The war was over. Yes.
Is that the only time you ever felt like you were going to see action, when you finally got to the West Coast? Or did you feel maybe when you were on the East Coast that you thought?
Well, when we was on the East Coast, we thought maybe we'd get ready for Japan. And, we had to learn how to handle rifles, carbines. That's what we had. And it was just nothing more. It wasn't for combat duty. It was more for if you're being attacked, you know, it's just like protect yourself, not for combat, just protection. And then from there, from the West Coast there, I got my ship at San Diego, and on the ship there, we used to train these pilots. We followed these small flat tops, and if a plane wouldn't make the landing on the plane on the ship, we'd pick them up. But that never happened. But we'd go out in the ocean and just go on in circles. We went around the Catalina Islands in circles for like 10 days at a time, and then come back in the port.
Were there any reports of Japanese around
there? No, that was not. That was all finished. It was all over. So, as far as being worried about the Japanese, why we weren't that was all over with. I got to, well, we was out there by, we had one mass on Bornholm Richards, was tied out in the bay there. They just came back from combat. Well, it was a big ship. It was like a small town.
What was your ship?
R.K. Huntington, destroyer.
Destroyer.
Yeah. So.
What do you remember about hearing from home? What did you hear from home when you were? Is there anything that sticks out in your mind about that? Well, while you were in, you know, communications from home.
There really wasn't much. Just the local news, which was of who went into service and who was, and there wasn't too much news about the only thing I was mostly worried about was war news. Well, we were in boot camp too. They had, every day they'd have a bulletin out over the loudspeaker how the war was going. And that was the big thing. And I was worried about the family and that, and how Martha was doing in the butcher shop, see how she's running it. Of course, she was getting help with Carnal, her brother. And that was the things that worried me more than anything else. But around town, I don't think there was really much anything going on.
You were married before.
Yes.
What do you miss? What did you miss when you were in the service? Was there something that...
Family. And in this small town that we were in, everybody knew each other. You went out there and you went downtown, and you didn't know anyone. You didn't know no one out there. That's what bothered me. Big towns, everybody walking, nobody pays attention to you. We're here in a small town. Everybody says hello and a few words on how are you and so forth. Well, I was in the store, it was the same way. But out there, you're sort of a lonely person.
You ever run into anybody you ever knew from back home? Somebody, a familiar face, or even from surrounding towns? Or?
Well, I was aboard ship. Smith boy, Harry Smith's boy, was delivering mail. And we had to serve a lunch for him. Just a quick snack, it was just sandwiches. I think that's the only. Oh, I met Bill Grimes on the train. He was coming home from the prisoner of war camp. Well, and I came home with Dick Mahochik too. On one of the trips.
Where would that have been?
Well, just in town. Just from, let's see, where would that be? That would be from Washington, D.C. to Pittsburgh, to Newcastle. But actually, in the service, just that Smith boy was the only one that I actually met. The other ones were just on a train. But the actual, we had to prepare a meal for the Smith boy. I've never seen him since either, haven't I? Oh, and I met Molenkoff too, the chiropractor in Milwaukee on boot leave. We had a weekend off, and I met Mr. Molenkoff. And I don't think I met anyone else. That's about all.
What about your brother? He was in Europe.
We corresponded. Yeah, we wrote. Of course, he couldn't tell. He couldn't tell too much. You weren't allowed to tell too much. Everything was censored. But we kept on tab on each other on what we were doing.
Did you have to watch what you wrote, or did they open your mail, or they could open your mail, or how did that work?
Well, Johnny was the one that they really watched. On my, really, I didn't have much to tell. Mm-hmm. But Johnny, he had a lot to tell. So I didn't have to watch. I really didn't have much to tell. But Johnny, he had to watch what he wrote.
Why was that?
Well, he was in combat there on Anzio and southern France invasion. Then he followed right up to German border before he's he had to leave because of his nerves. He had to send him to a rest camp for a while. So he had a lot to tell.
He had a lot of combat,
so his nerves were a little bit bad then.
Was there enough time to worry about him too?
I worried about him. You're the newscast. Yeah, you worry about him. See, you'll never know. Mm-hmm. He had a really bad on Anzio. But he'll tell you that
was he at the landing then?
At
Anzio, or did he come?
Later. He came in there when it was at its worst. When he flew his plane up from southern Italy, and he flew over Naples, why, Americans were shooting at him till they found out who he was. You worry about, you never know what's going to happen.
Okay. What if there's one thing you remember most about the war, or even more than one thing? What do you think it was? I mean, looking back, what's something that stands out the most?
Well, one of the big things was we were all waiting for that when they're going to open up the front on in Europe for D-Day. That was one of the biggest things. We was in boot camp. When he announced that, everybody hollered. And while we were in boot camp, we knew that the war was getting better because there were more washed out pilots. Not pilots, cadets, in camp. And they were saying they were getting more particular on who's going to make pilots or not. And they were washing more out than what they had at the beginning. When the beginning, they took about everybody, and then their losses weren't so great, and they were a little more particular on that.
You're talking about the Navy pilots then?
Navy pilots, yes.
What about the military would you say was something that you'd like to have seen changed? Or something that you didn't quite understand or maybe you didn't agree with?
Well, I really didn't have much thought. I think I was treated pretty fair. They have nice training programs. And I thought, I was treated fair. And I think in the service, I think if you do your work well, they recognize it.
Is the Navy different, you think, than the other branches? Maybe a little bit better treatment or anything from what you talked about?
Well, my neighbor here, he was in both services, and he figures the Navy was better than the Army. I liked it in the Navy. Treated good, good food. I kind of liked it, and I kind of liked the water. And if I'd have been a single man after the war was over, I think I'd have enlisted in the reserve. Take a cruise. You could pick, they had that program where you could pick out your the time of the year you wanted to, your training, and the spot where you wanted to go. And that's what I would have taken. I thought it was really nice on the ocean. They enjoyed that. And the sea got rough, not too rough. I used to go on the second deck and ride the waves. I liked that. I was the only guy out there, but I liked that. Not real rough. And the first time the sea got rough and we were having pork chops. Everything going on the deck. We all said it fell on a piece of wax paper and put it back on the... Serve them all out. Yeah, it was too late. They usually, when the sea gets rough, they usually serve sandwiches. But we already started on the pork chops. You had to serve them.
Good. What years were you in?
44, 46.
So you went in towards the end?
Yeah. It was early 44. Early 46, yeah. About 2 years, I was. Yeah, 2 years.
Was that the way the draft went, or was they were starting to send people home?
That's the way the draft went. I wouldn't have been discharged that early if the ship wasn't going to China. But all the fellows that had enough points, or close enough points, got off the ship before it left for China, or otherwise I would have had to spend the trip to China before.
How did their points work then? How did they?
I forget how that worked. Age, I think. Your family back home. And I think if you were needed at home for work to provide for the family, I think that all added up. I forget exactly, and how long you were in. You had to have I forget the total that you had to have. But that's how they, that's how I got out.
Okay. What was it like when you got home? What was the mood of the town then?
Everybody was happy. Everybody was real happy, and everybody's glad to see you. That was a big thing. I heard one fellow say that he wasn't in the service, and the man would be talking to him, and if he'd see a serviceman that just came home, he'd leave the person he was talking to and go see the serviceman and see how he is. One fellow come and told me that. Later he said, well, he really felt hurt. And this man was ready to go in the service. He had his commission. He had his suit, his uniform bought. And, he was supposed to report he got sick. After he got over his illness, they said they didn't need him anymore because the war was going pretty good then. Boy, but he felt bad. Good man, too.
Was there a central meeting place for everybody then? And did you go in town anywhere, or was it just...
No. Not anymore. That used to be during the Depression years. Everybody used to be done under the police station, play cards. Then we used to, Carol Club used to meet up in the church basement. We had a lot of fun there. But at that time there was no, I don't think there was anyone that, any groups that, where the whole town would be together.
Do you remember anybody that, does anybody stand up that didn't come home? You can remember being close to, or?
No, there wasn't anyone. There is a few that I knew that my neighbor, Milan Persik, and that Beloza boy, and Rhymes, and my neighbor too, Sterling Rhymes. My next door neighbor there while we were on Fifth Street. He was on the first casualties. The person I remember too, for a good patriotic man, was Archie Shaw, one of the best ever. And Dr. Campbell, one of the best patriotic men.
What way was Dr. Campbell been? Was he, did he serve?
He was a World War I vet.
Oh.
So he used to give you a free examination if you would join the Legion, or you pay your Legion dues. He would give you, if you come down the office, and free visit. He was great for that.
Was he a doctor in the war? Is that what? Or did he just?
I think he, yeah, World War I. Yeah, he was great for all the Legion affairs. I think he was instrumental getting that post building in Bessemer. Him and Paul Kannigheiser. But I think him more than anyone else. And I kind of liked him. He was a number one man. With his passing, that was end of a, like an end of a era.
Small-time doctor.
Small-time doctor. That's the end of a small-time doctor.
Yeah, I remember him.
You remember him?
Oh, yeah. I think he delivered me. When you got back, you didn't even have to look for a job. You had the... At the store.
We had the store, yeah.
So it was was the economy then, was it, could you tell the difference between then and like the Depression? Was it?
Oh, yes. Everything before the Depression, before I worked in the store, I worked at the plant. And the most I worked was 9 months. I worked 5 months, 3 months. When, when I got back, everything was booming. Well, even while I was before I went into service, it was starting to boom. But it kept booming right after the war. Everything boom blast. You could get a job any place. Cement plant hire you anywhere, or out in the quarry, you could get a job, or in the brickyard. Yeah, during the Depression years, well, there was bad years.
Do you remember them having any war contracts? Cement plant. Did they boom during the war because of the war?
I don't think so. I don't think they had any war contracts. Mm-hmm. Not that I know.
I don't know what for. Yeah. I just wondered if there was.
If everything was booming, though, everybody working full blast. Work as much as you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was there anything else that may have picked up because of the war at Bessemer? Has there been any?
I don't think so. I don't think there was anything.
Pretty much is centered around the town.
Town, yeah. I don't think there was any. Yeah. Manufacture of any war material.
The guys that came back, did they go into the plant?
Most of them went in the plant. some went up the mill, but quite a few went right back on their old jobs again. Most of them were working in the plant before before they left.
So they were pulled off of there and
just went right back, went back in again.
Did they lose any of their time or anything?
No.
They gave them
that was credit? All, like for their pension, that was all counted for their seniority. And then in town there was a lot of older people that worked in the plant. So they were lucky to be able to get a job. They were a little older where you couldn't get a job somewhere else.
Was that, do you think that was by, was that agreement between the plant and the worker? There was no union, was there a union then?
No.
So that was more or less?
That was after the war, but the agreement they made after the war, after the union came in, then they agreed on all that the veterans should get.
So they didn't, when they came back, they didn't know that they had actually been given credit for their, say if you'd have gone in 41 and got out in 44, you'd have been out of work 3 years. When the guys came back in, they didn't know that.
They were, if they worked before they went in, yes. They were credited for their seniority.
But did they knew that, they knew that right then when they come back to work?
No.
Just when the union,
Union came in, then they, then they agreed on the pact, whatever they did agree on, but they got their seniority that way.
When did the union come in? Do you remember what? Was that in the 40s?
It must have been 46, 47.
So it wasn't too long after
that. 48, something like that. Yeah, that was. I don't know the exact year. But it seemed to me when I got out of the plant without the union, things weren't going so good. And when the union got in, when it was easier for the worker, that's when I got out.
Mm-hmm. There was a more like a union effort though then. Was it the unions picking up then like in the '40s, weren't they? I mean everywhere it was.
Yeah. But the plant was after the '40s, after the war, that the unions really got strong.
Okay, is there anything important that you think we left out?